Good morning. So today is June 25th. So you've got exactly 6 months to get your Christmas shopping done. And don't let me fool you, my wife will have you know that she does all the shopping, so it would take me the 6 months to shop. I was going to read this from Romans 13:8-10, but we had this morning, and it's kind of marvelous how God works sometimes. This kind of is a baseline of the format of this lesson that I want to share with you this morning. Not a typical lesson. If you'll indulge me a little bit, I do a little different format. I encouraged from a few weeks ago when we had the service that was kind of theme-based. I hope you will allow me to present this lesson this way. It's been a while since I've done a lesson, a little out of practice, so to speak, but it's a lesson we've heard before. It's a simple lesson, but I think as we get into the lesson, I think you'll start to see and understand why. So instead of reading Romans 13 again here, I'd like to suggest or offer a thought that you've heard the adage that idle is the devil's workshop. I would add to that or change to that that maybe if your heart's not full, that's also where the devil could live. The mistake over a gift, a Christmas spirit story. One afternoon, a child, a brother, and a sister were watching their mom help open packages containing some gifts that their aunt and uncle had shipped to them for Christmas. The first child opened the gift and could not believe it. It was a pillow. And on the face of this pillow was the most beautiful thing that this child had ever seen. On this pillow was four dolls plastered along a purple pillow. Now, as the child admired the pillow, the brother had just opened his gift. As well, it happened to be a pillow. And he was very excited. It happened to have some dinosaurs on it. The mom was opening the last shipping box, and yet was another pillow for the sister. And much like the brother, the sister instantly loved this pillow. But the first child stared at the pillow that the sister just received. And when the child saw it, it was the most beautiful pillow that the child had ever seen. And when the child had seen this, the child did something very, very rude. You see, this pillow had horses on it. And horses is the very favorite thing of that child. So the child flung the doll pillow towards his sister and said, "That is a mistake. Too bad. This pillow is mine." The child then grabbed the horse pillow and took it away from the sister. Of course, the child's mom and dad stopped everything right there. The dad said, "Wait, since you've behaved so rudely, the sister can pick the pillow that she really wants." The sister did not hesitate, and of course she took the horse pillow. After that, the first child was super frustrated. The face of the child had a real mean and ugly look on it, and the child would not say a word to anybody. The mom later had asked the children to make a thank you video for the aunt and uncle, and that child just smiled a fake smile, which was very noticeable to the parents and to the camera. But the child did say that the gift was appreciated. The mom and dad had asked the child to clean up the mess of the wrapping paper. And when the first child came back in from taking paper out to the recycle bin, the dad asked, "Why are you so mad?" Again, the child would not speak to the dad, so the dad continued on and said that the child should be mad at themselves for they started the whole mess. But the child was too mad to focus on what had been said. The child grabbed the doll pillow and stomped on their way to the room to cry. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. So after a small amount of time, the child decided to focus on something else. The child started putting away Christmas toys in their room. But then the child noticed something was missing. There were some pieces of some dolls that were missing. Now the mom had moved some stuff that day to vacuum the room, and the child had assumed that the mom must have vacuumed up these pieces. Well, that made the child cry, seemingly even more than before. The child went out to the family room to get something, and as the child was doing that, the dad seen the still sour look on her face and asked the child to sit down next to him and talk. And as the dad asked what the problem was, the child told him about the missing doll pieces and how mom had vacuumed them up. And how the child, of course, was still mad about the pillow. So the dad said, "Do you really think your mom would have purposely vacuumed up the pieces?" And again, the child would not say anything. So the dad said, "Do you think if mom had heard the vacuum suck up the pieces, that she would have got them out of the vacuum?" Eventually the child said yes, but was just staring at the floor. After a while, the child muttered something under the breath, saying, "People will make fun of me for being so old and having a doll pillow." Now, if we pause the story here for just a second, if you can't tell already, I'd like to set the stage just a little bit more of the house. As the cliche goes, you could see the tension or cut it with a knife. At this point, the mom and dad are being very upset with the child. The child's being upset with the child's attitude about everything. Being upset with an illogical argument with the child. Trying to manipulate the situation. Saying on one hand it was too old for a doll pillow, but on the other was concerned about doll pieces missing out of the room. Upset the brother and the sister having to witness everything as bystanders that day. The Christmas joy was gone of that day, and the dad was past his breaking point. If we look at verse 4, also there in chapter 6 of Ephesians, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Also, if we look at James 1, verses 19 and 20, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So going back to our story, the dad said to the child, "No, they're not going to make fun of you. You will just not have a pillow at all. Go to your room and give your pillow now to your sister." And of course, this upset the child. But they did do what the dad had asked. But later, when the mom had asked for everyone to join for dinner, the child said that they did not want to eat. The child was too upset and did not want to be with the family. So after a few hours went by, the child did want to eat some food. So when the child got to the kitchen, the mom gave a hug and asked what the child wanted for dinner. And the child said all the things that they wanted. Of course, it was way past dinner time. And the child sat down again with the dad. During the dinner, the dad had said that the child would not have electronics for 3 weeks as part of their punishment. And after the child had finished the food, the child said goodnight to the parents and went to bed. After the children were asleep, the parents talked over the situation and asked each other how to make a lasting point with the children. Together they worked out an idea. So the next morning they told the child to research Christmas spirit and write a report on what Christmas spirit is and what it means to them. The following that I want to share with you is that report. The true meaning of Christmas spirit. First off, I know you are probably wondering exactly what Christmas spirit is. According to the Seventh Sense stories, Christmas spirit is simple things like giving, appreciating, and doing service. Seventh Sense stories also say that to embrace the true meaning of Christmas, we need to reach down within ourselves and be willing to give ourselves and others our love. The gifts that we give are a symbol of our love, not an obligation. As we give, we should reflect on the fact that no gift can truly ever equal the love we give to another person and the time spent together with them. That is truly what giving is all about. Seventh Sin Stories goes on to say that appreciation is so important. So many feel dissatisfied with their lives. We focus on the things that we want to have, yet spend almost no time at all appreciating what we already have and feeling grateful for it. Gratitude, appreciation for what we have, and a loving heart. These are what the Christmas spirit is all about. Seventh Sin Stories also says that embracing the spirit of Christmas also means giving to those in need, doing some service for someone, or maybe even leaving a donation. These actions demonstrate an understanding of the real nature of Christmas. We can all enjoy this period more fully when we help others who are in need. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse 20. And of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. The report goes on, I think the Christmas spirit is truly about spreading joy and love to the people that you care about, even if it's hard to do. Sometimes you can get so distracted about being frustrated with someone or something that you lash out to someone for doing nothing. And that's just an example of what I think is the exact opposite of Christmas spirit. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. The report continues, the lesson that I learned about the whole thing is that Christmas spirit is forgiving and love. But I did not do any of this through my whole episode. I was very selfish and rude to some of my family members instead of being kind and loving to them. The Lord is kind and loving, and he is so kind and loving that he died and rose again for you and me that we would be saved from our sins. When we love and spread kindness to others, it makes them feel super good. But all I did was bring meanness to my sister and my parents. And they did not deserve any of that. I know it does not feel good when someone is being rude to me, so why should I do it to other people, especially my family members? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3, verses 17 and 18. That was the end of the child's report. But at that point, the child went on to write a personal apology letter to each of the family members. And the child wrote these letters without being prompted by the parents. And in those letters, the child spoke to how they truly loved each member. To clarify a little, that both this Christmas spirit story and this report, I've only added parts to them for some clarity. But the story and the report itself was written from the study of that child and from their heart and mind. And I submit to you today that, as the child well stated in their report, the Christmas spirit is love. The point of my lesson here is not to call out the mistakes of that day by any of the characters of our story. Certainly, even the scriptures that we've used in our study today so far, that we can no doubt see that there's definitely some mistakes. But rather, again, the point of this is to talk about love. Also, this lesson has a different personal tie to me. You see, from several years ago, I had an old lesson on love. And according to the computer file on my PC at home, it says the file is 20 years old. And I think that's a mistake. I've had several computers. I think the file's older than that. And it was a lesson even as I, back then, a younger man, I never quite felt that that lesson was finished. And I never presented that lesson because of that. Just never feeling that it was ready. And I usually, again, I've only given a handful of lessons in my lifetime. I don't not necessarily feel that I'm maybe the best one to do this all the time. But when I do give a lesson, I really ask God for three things when I pray. One, that, you know, I stay true to the Word of God. Everything's scriptural. Two, much to the same point, that I don't say anything that would lead somebody down the wrong path. And three, that God's will always be done. So fast forward from how many years ago to just a few months ago, I have to marvel at God's power and His plans for us. You see, only when I sat and I listened to this Christmas spirit story and the report, I was not prepared for how it shook me. It would shake me. You see, if you hadn't figured out by now, that I was the one to ask that child for that report. And as that adage goes, for every finger you point, three point back. And I knew as soon as I'd heard that lesson, God answered me 20-some years later and gave me the prequel that I needed for my lesson. As much as I wanted to share this lesson with you today, this lesson was for me. And I can attest that God answers prayers. Matthew 6, latter part of verse 8, "For the Father knows the things that you need of before you ask Him." I can think of no better way to compliment the child's thoughts than that of Paul's definition of love that we've talked about this morning in 1 Corinthians 13. If you turn your Bibles there, that'll be the center point for the rest of my lesson. And as you're turning there, fun fact that your Bible very well may call that chapter the greatest gift. Or at least some Bibles do. And how appropriate to keep up with our Christmas theme here and talk about love and being the greatest gift. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And even if we take this wonderful definition again that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians, we can take it just a little further. If we hold our place there, but quickly switch over to 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I'd also like to state a fun fact about 1 John here that I found in my wife's Bible by accident. I was looking for something one day, grabbed her Bible. But there's a note in her Bible about 1 John that states that in 5 short chapters of 1 John, the word love and the various forms that John uses of the word love is used 46 times. Now, I've not counted this for myself to verify if it's true, but when I do read the book of 1 John, I think I can believe that statement. And the point I'm trying to make here is that this should start to give us an idea of just how important love is and how it should be important to us. And this is just from one book of the Bible, no less. But then again, we all should know how important love is. After all, it is our greatest commandment, is it not? Matthew 22, starting verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." God is love. So now I'm putting more emphasis on the understanding of that God is love. If you would with me, I'd like to do just a quick little mental exercise using the verses again from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If what I would like you to do is if you take those verses, and every time you find the word love or a reference to the word love, replace that with God. Just some examples of what I mean. God suffers long and is kind. God thinks no evil. God bears all things. And I'm sure if you complete this exercise that we would all agree when we read and study from our Bible that God, we can very easily see that God is love and that God loves each and every one of us. But now here's where I want to present a challenge to us all. Can we do the same exercise and replace the word love or the references to love and insert our own name? Ryan is not puffed up. Ryan does not behave rudely. I think my wife would argue that one sometimes. Ryan does not seek his own. My challenge here, I think some of us will find this difficult if we complete this exercise. But praise God that we have His grace. Praise God that He knew we would fall short on love and that He created a plan for our salvation and He gives us forgiveness. And He did send His Son to this earth to become that perfect sacrifice, because without love, if we look back here in verse 1 of chapter 13, we are mere noise. Verse 2, without love we are nothing, even if we have faith. And verse 3, without love, good deeds profit nothing. God is love. Love is a gift to us. We must not treat love lightly. Love is greater than prophecies which will fail, greater than tongues which will cease, and greater than knowledge which will vanish. Paraphrasing from verse 8, there also in chapter 13. Again, I submit to you that Christmas spirit is love, and we should all have Christmas spirit. We should study to love, and then also study the love that's in our lives. And the love that we give each other. It is our greatest commandment, yes. But if we are to be Christians, love should be the most easiest, natural thing that we do. Do you have Christmas spirit every day, not just in December? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John chapter 13, verse 35. The lesson is yours. If you're here today and have any needs that need to be brought to the congregation for prayer or subject to the invitation, like to fix your love with God, please join us as we stand and sing. Thank you.